Metro in the morning, hanging out in the building. Jay Blaze, once
what's happening,
again.
Sir?
What's going down with
good
you?
Good morning.
How we're was back. You're back?
We back.
Yeah. How was your yesterday?
My yesterday was okay. I'm really getting kind of excited because this weather is changing. I think we've left winter behind. So I get excited when I don't have to wake up and kind of walk through the snow and you know, let the car run and clear the car off. And so, yeah, we're done with that. There's a 60-degree day coming up in like 2 days. So I'm super, super excited.
But there was a threat this week.
Ah.
You know, some dust that came around.
Yeah, we didn't get anything here.
Well, you know, Prince made a song, Sometimes It Snows in April.
Uh-huh.
So it still could happen.
You know what? I am going to... put a lot of positivity in the atmosphere right now by saying the weather has warmed enough. Actually, that ain't even what it is. What happened is Cali getting all our snow right
Cali
now.
Cali getting all the snow.
They're getting all of what we normally get out in the on the West Coast. And, you know, we'd be out on the beach in about a month and a half. So let's go.
So what do you think about Florida and spring break?
Nope.
No. You don't participate in
that? Nah, no.
So you think they're gonna keep the virus going on because so many people have flocked down to Florida?
If you have been paying attention to the statistics, the numbers are starting to rise again. And they say every time there's an uptick, it's due to travel situation. So people are going and traveling and just doing things. But in you needing to have your little vacation, get a little too relaxed and forget that you're still in the middle of a pandemic. So then everything kind of kicks up. And I think that's what's happening now. I know in Michigan, I think they said the positivity rate that they want to see is about 3%. We were down to like 2.7 about 2.5-3 weeks ago. Now we're up to like 6, close to 7.
Because of travel.
Because
or whatever.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? So for me, even though I'm starting to get the itch to get up and get out and you know, it's been a year. It's time to go do something, but you still have to be very, very careful and very aware of what's going on because it's still here. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Well, I mean, it seems as if the nation doesn't really care as far as the ones that participate in the spring break and going to the beaches or what have you, because this happened last year as well.
Yep.
And so they're still continuing status quo and traveling and having fun and bringing it back home.
I love the younger ones. I got a sister who's 19. My son, Jalen 21, 20, 20. She's 20. My son is 17. My daughter is 22. So I love the younger, the up and coming adults. I don't want to call them millennials because then I'll have to, the younger ones. I'm not going to say they don't care. I don't know what it is. Maybe they feel like they're invincible because, you know, we all went through that, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21.
Yeah, but that was jumping off buildings and things of that nature.
Yeah, jumping off building, COVID, what's the difference? I mean, it's all the same.
I mean, because when you're young, you're right. You feel invincible, like, you know, your life is going to go on forever, but this is something totally different.
I don't think it's really set in. Because true enough, we're a year into it. We've been dealing with it for a year. But if we're still seeing people making the same decisions, same judgment calls that were being made a year ago, you don't get it. You don't understand.
But it can't happen to them. I think that's the mindset.
There's no understanding.
If it can't happen
to you, you don't know what COVID is.
Right.
You don't understand what it is. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't wait to be able to go and fly, go get on the beach. And I typically don't like the beach. I'm ready for the beach this year. I don't mind the sand in my toes.
You have to get to a secluded spot, though.
I do. It has to be clean.
Yeah.
The beaches are very interesting places. I could talk to you about the beach all day. I got stories, but yeah.
Yeah.
You need to go somewhere.
You have challenges with
I do.
With things.
I
yeah.
do. I do.
You have challenges.
I'm a little different. A little different. Hey, so we hanging out this morning, Jay Blaze, DJ Metro. This is what we do every morning. Coming up, we've got a special guest in the studio with us, and we will introduce you to her and what she's doing to impact Grand Rapids. That's coming up. This is Metro in the Morning, onegrandermedia.com.
Hey, it's your girl, Lashay Simmons, founder of Black Wall Street Muskegon, and I rock with onegrandermedia.com.
Metro in the Morning, Jay Blaze in the building.
Yep.
With our special guest, who's ruling, I'm going to say ruling, mm-hmm. ruling the book world here in GR. I mean, she has come into town, if you will, started her business, and we'll get all into that. Mm-hmm. And books are the new it. Books are the new it. Let's just say it like that, because you got to have some information going on. You got to have some culture going on. And I think that she is developing a solid fan base, if you will, here in GR. So we're talking about Miss Kendra McNeil, owner of We Are Lit Multicultural Bookstore. Miss Kendra, how you doing?
Welcome to Metro in the morning, Miss Kendra.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. So can you give us a little background about yourself?
Yep. So I'm Kendra McNeil. I started We Are Lit 3 years ago as an online bookstore that focused on multicultural books across all genres. And since that time, I kind of morphed into a pop-up bookshop around town. And now I have a semi-permanent location inside of the Grand Rapids African American Museum, downtown Grand Rapids.
Okay. How long have you been doing this? I know we were talking off air, and that was the one question that I did ask you because I wanted to save everything for this conversation. But how long have you been a part of or running, managing, operating We Are Lit?
Yeah, for 3 years now. I launched We Are Lit kind of on the fly in 2017. Mm-hmm. And since then, it is just gaining popularity and growing. So three whole years now.
Where did the idea come from?
So I've always been an avid reader, and I've always enjoyed patronizing bookstores. And so I just kind of got to the point where I wanted to take my love for books and reading and all the inspiration I had acquired from visiting other bookstores and launch something of my own.
Mm, okay. So growing up, what particular... books that you were you drawn to?
Well, growing up, I was drawn to mystery books.
Mystery.
Yes. In my younger days, much younger, my school age days, I was an avid reader of Fear Street novels, which was a mystery series. And then I would say I grew into romance mystery and historical fiction. And now I just read some of everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. So you've been in business for 3 years now.
Three years.
So here in Grand Rapids, how has the community welcomed you?
Good. I would say that from the time I launched online, I guess I'll back up first a bit. Before I launched We Are Lit, I had started connecting with other readers and book lovers across social media, and part of the how We Are Lit came about was really from that, just kind of seeing what the culture was around books in West Michigan and just noticing that there really wasn't one that was centered on books here the way that you see in other cities. Mm-hmm. And so I think over the last 3 years, the community has embrace the bookshop and embrace the work that I do through We Are Lit, and has been very much a part of the bookshop's growth.
So outside of just kind of creating a space for people to come and purchase books and things like that, what you just mentioned, the work that you do in the community. Mm-hmm. What other work do you do in the community?
So a couple of things. I'm really involved with curating children's books for schools right now, which is not something that was a part of my platform when I first launched. When I first launched, I mostly focused on reading and literature that centered more to adult women. And then I just kind of fell in love with children's books and saw that here in West Michigan that there was still a need for children to have access to books that had Black characters and Latino characters and things like that. And so I would say for the last 2 years, most of my work has been centered around children's literature. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So do you find that books that are coming out today with children, there are more African-Americans that are producing Black-owned books, or well, Black authors rather, producing books for the kids?
I would say that there's still a gap in publishing when it comes to Black authors writing children's books that have Black characters and things like that. But it has definitely gotten better. There are a lot of authors who are self-published who write children's books that have more vibrant stories. A lot of times in published work, there's what's known in the book industry as the single story. And so you see a lot of books that come out of major publishing houses that aim to teach about history or teach about social justice issues, but not Black kids doing everyday things, whether it's flying a kite or, you know, hiding from a dragon under their bed or just being a kid. And so really those type of stories come from self-published authors who have not been given an equitable opportunity in major publishing.
Okay. So I know when I was a kid, one of my favorite books was Where the Wild Things Are. Now I know that's not a African-American author, but today, do you find that one book stands out more than another?
Yeah. Right now, in children's books, what's popular are books that teach self-love. And so there's a lot of books around that. Crown, Ode to the Fresh Cut by Derek Barnes, which features a young Black boy, and it just really talks about his experience in the barbershop and what it's like, you know, after he gets his hair cut and things like that. And then there's, I can go on about books that are just about hair alone. That's a big thing now about policing the Black body, if you will. And so there's lots and lots of children's books that try to reinforce self-love around image and things like that. Yeah.
Okay, so tell you what, let's go ahead and get into a break. When we get back, we'll talk more about your books and your business and what you have coming up in the future.
Okay.
This is Calvin with CNN Cleaning, and you're jamming with Grander Radio.
Welcome back to Metro in the Morning. Jay Blaze, DJ Metro, hanging out this morning with Miss Kendra McNeil, who's owner and operator of We Are Lit. It is a new... Now, how do I explain We Are Lit? It is an online bookstore.
Pop-up, semi-permanent.
Okay. But anything literature, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I was getting to a question when we were off air, and it has slipped my memory, but it will come back.
Okay.
Well, I think what you were asking me is about what I think is the most important part of my work with We Are Lit. And glad you asked.
Thank you.
I think what's most important about the work that I do with We Are Lit is trying to change the narrative around Black literature, for one. When I got started coming up with the idea or just even thinking that I wanted to have a bookstore of my own. It was during a time where there people who were reading Black literature, I guess I'd say, were doing so as a challenge. So in a lot of literature circles, there were like 30-day hashtags, and I just felt like Black literature can be consumed all the time. And that how we think about books written by Black authors, trying to create a different conversation around it. And I always mention a quote by Toni Morrison, where she said in an interview at the University of Michigan how Black literature is taught as sociology and as tolerance, but not as a serious, rigorous art form. And so always thinking about that, and then thinking about the conversations that were occurring around Black writers, I just felt that having a platform where work across all genres was normal, I felt was something that was needed in West Michigan.
Now, when you talk about just expanding readership and building people's knowledge of Black literature, mm-hmm. I want to take it a little deeper. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you about literacy and literacy among our students, mm-hmm. our children. There's a lot of issues.
Yes.
There are a lot of issues right now with literacy in elementary and middle schools. Someone who is involved in the book industry and who's an avid reader and who's building a business that promotes literacy, reading, what do you think is something that can be done to kind of impact or slow or affect, excuse me, the issues that we're seeing across, like I said, from lower elementary to high school in terms of just literacy issues?
Well, I think first, I wouldn't say first. I think to get a child on a path to becoming a lifelong reader or even being confident in reading, mm-hmm. I think has to start with a good story. And I think in school systems, the canons are outdated. Children are given history books, and for some, books that they receive at school are their only access to books. And so it can not be exciting. It can be, you know, daunting or just overwhelming and frankly just boring for a child. And so I think that's one barrier to just even get a child excited about a book. And then I think the other thing is access, where when I was growing up, I was lucky to be able to walk to a public library, but that's not the situation for a lot of children. And so being able to, one, have a child have access to books and then have those books be something of interest, I think make a difference in a child's relationship to reading and eventually becoming a lifelong reader.
So what I'm hearing you say is based on the platform that you've built, mm-hmm. and the services that you provide, the products that you provide, if someone were to connect with Ms. Kendra, mm-hmm. And you know, have a conversation about We Are Lit, and they have a child that is a struggling reader, mm-hmm. if that child is connected with that right story, that perfect story, that can influence that child in a way to become a lifelong reader.
believe so. And I guess I would also say that it doesn't necessarily have to occur at a young age. Mm-hmm. Jason Reynolds, who is a children's book author, he writes for middle grade and the upper level. He didn't start reading until he was 17, and now he's a world-renowned children's book author. Yeah. And he shares in his story that he didn't pick up a book until he was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And so I think that as long as whatever prompted him or whatever led him to a book, and then once he read it, what engaged him about it, I think can happen at any age.
Yeah.
But I think it's just important for access and for books to be in the forefront. And not just books, even. I went through a phase where I was reading the newspaper, or mm-hmm. I was reading magazines, yep. and, you know, different things like that. So it doesn't always have to be, you know, a novel or something like that, but just an environment that makes reading an important part of life.
I was going to say that picking up that right story or what have you, I think that's true in a sense, because I didn't necessarily start reading until I was about 17. I mean, mm-hmm. I did what I had to do as far as school was concerned or what have you. But then once I started picking up books, and I think one of my first books probably was a Malcolm X books, believe
yeah.
it or not.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
That was one of my first books that I picked up. And once I started reading it, it just captured my interest, and I just kind of went from there. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm halfway militant, if you will. I got a long history with reading those type of books or what have you. But from a reader standpoint in relationship to the author, do you think that the author writes stories based on their individual experiences, or do you think they think more of the globally?
I think a bit of both. I believe that society kind of stifles creativity a lot, and then also when it comes to aspiring writers, what gets published also impacts the stories that they write. And so I find that a lot of authors, regardless of ethnicity, tend to write from their lived experience. And then you have some that just go like straight creative with it. Mm. And that's how you get, you know, satire fiction and sci-fi and things like that. But I think the current age we're in, people are leaning more towards writing from lived experiences. And so you just get an oversaturation of the same story mm-hmm. often. And that's frustrating for as a reader who wants, you know, to read a good story when there's, you know, book after book that comes out that's telling the same story. Mm-hmm. So I think it goes both ways. Yeah,
because I know I found myself, you know, going from Malcolm X to Donald Goins to mm-hmm. Stephen King, mm-hmm. you know, so I just kind of went around the world, if you will, with the readings or what have you.
And see, and I read a Donald Goins book for the first time, and recently, like in the last 3 years, I read Horse Son, and I still remember like reading it and like looking over my shoulder, like to see, you know, it was kind of like 50 Shades of Grey, like where, you know, you're on the train and you don't want anyone to see what you're reading.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, so right now, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Ms. Kendra McNeil, who's the owner, operator of We Are Lit, which if you log on to onegrandermedia.com, scroll down to the bottom, you see a pink little banner. That will take you right to the We Are Lit website. It's We Are Lit GR. Check out the website. If you are looking to add some books to your collection, that is the first place that I want you to start. I want you to start right there.
What's up, everybody? This is Miss Dia Noble, and you are tuned in to Grander Radio.
Metro in the morning, hanging out still with Jay Blaze and Miss Kendra.
Miss Kendra.
Kendra McNeil, We Are Lit bookstore. You know, I frequent that bookstore shop online quite a bit.
It's a platform.
Hey, however you want to phrase it. So there, you know, she carries a lot of books.
I'm looking, and I've been on the site the whole time we've been talking, and yeah, there's a lot there.
There's a lot. So speaking of books and a lot of books, what kind of new releases are actually on the market right now, or that's coming up, rather?
Yeah. So a couple. I guess I'll start with the social justice book, just because it's just so present. So Don Lemon from CNN released a book on March 16th called This Is the Fire. And it's a book that he writes to his nephew. And it's supposed to be kind of like a conversation that he has with his friends about racism. And so, again, you know, This Is the Fire is a, you know, play on James Baldwin's The Fire Next Time. There's been a lot of plays on that title over the years. So that's new and upcoming. And Don Lemon, you know, regardless whether people, you know, watch his show or anything like that, I think brings an interesting voice to the conversation. So that's new. And then beyond that, there is a book coming out soon about Nipsey Hussle called The Marathon Don't Stop, Life and Times of Nipsey Hussle. That comes out March 23rd. And that book is supposed to be a narrative of his life and kind of get into the work that he was doing in the community leading up to his murder, and principles from his thinking, things that guided him. And so that'll be interesting. I actually have the audiobook already, and I started listening to it.
You got them first dibs.
Yeah. And so one thing that I find interesting about Nipsey Hussle, I wasn't familiar with him as an artist, but after he died, there were all kinds of book lists that came, you know, from things he read, interviews where he talked about, you know, works that inspired him and moved him. And so I just find all that to be interesting. Yeah. And looking forward to others being able to read the book and seeing what they take away from it.
Yeah, so I know we'll have that that link of Nipsey Hussle's book on the website, onegrandermedia.com. Oh, yeah. So if you guys want to check that book out, you can go to our website, click on it, and pre-order it.
Yes, pre-order it. Yeah. It releases March 23rd.
Okay, so you guys can get that pre-order. So it'll be on the website again. OneGranderMedia.com. Make sure you guys check that out. You'll see the photo. Just scroll down and you'll run right into it. So let's talk about relation. How'd you phrase that?
Relationships to books. How people relate to books and interact with books. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why is that important?
So I think it's for a couple of reasons. With We Are Lit, I always say that the books that I curate for its collections, they're not unique, if you will, meaning that they can be found anywhere. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I try to do, or how I try to use my platform, is how we talk about books. So I guess what I mean is, there's sometimes people who are readers or who are interested in books can get boxed into one narrative around reading or certain genres or who, you know, a book is for. I see it in children's literature where parents are like, I need a book for a boy. And I'm like, well, all books are for boys.
I got you.
But among adult readers, especially when it comes to Black literature, there's often, I think, the misconception of what Black literature is. Mm-hmm. And where a lot of what's being published now is more contemporary and maybe even a little millennial, if you will. A lot of adult readers are into more, I call it underground Black critical thought. So what did you call yourself? You said that you read Malcolm X and
Radical.
And so there is just what I try to do is expose people to different work, develop new interests, and just a different way of thinking about reading that I think makes a difference in how we interact with each other, how we move through culture, and things like that.
So is it just being open and not putting yourself in a box in terms of what you read, to say that the only thing that I can read is from Black educated men that went to this university and these are the only writers that I'm going to read because this is what, that's not what the relational aspect of what you just mentioned is. It's being open and understanding that the more I read, the more knowledge, the more information that I add to my knowledge base, then for one, the more powerful I am as a human being. But it's about reading, and it's not about locking yourself into reading one genre, one style of writing, one particular writer. It's about being open to the process of reading and enjoying what's being written, because there's a lot out there.
Exactly. And then even just getting into reading as for enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of times when it comes to books, the relationship people have with books can be for a specific purpose. Like if they're not trying to learn about a particular thing, then they don't see, you know, the point in in reading. And my dad's like that. Like, my dad does not read novels.
I'm not a novel reader either.
Yeah, he does not, you know, read novels. So if he's gonna read something, it, you know, he usually has a specific goal in mind, or you know, something like that. But just for the enjoyment of it,
Now, I will say that I did read a Terry McMillan book back in the day, right?
So, is that right?
So before the movie came out. But let me ask you this. With the books, and everybody looks at movies, well, that's a classic. Mm-hmm. Are there any books that you would consider classics that people should have on their shelves?
Yes.
You said yes.
I think that I think everyone should have, this is almost a difficult question for someone who loves a whole lot of books. So, I'm a big fan of Toni Morrison, and not her fiction work though. I mean, I liked her fiction work, but I like to read her essays and things like that. So I think everyone should have, The Source of Self-Regard, which is a collection of speeches and essays that she has written over the years, all in one volume. I think everyone should have that. I think that everyone should have Stony the Road by Henry Louis Gates Jr., which talks about, it's a history book, and it talks about the Reconstruction era and what led to Jim Crow and, you know, the racism that we experience today. What else? I think everyone should have Beverly Jenkins. She writes historical romance, but her books are very fact-based.
Good job, buddy.
And so you learn a lot. Beverly Jenkins is actually from Detroit. Oh. And has written a lot of books, and you just learn so much. They lead you to real life research and history. Mm-hmm. So I think I would start. I think I would stop there. Otherwise, this list would get long. Just
keep going on.
All right. Yeah. If you're just tuning in, we are talking with Miss Kendra McNeil, owner of We Are Lit GR. And we're talking about some books that she feels you should absolutely have in your collection. So coming up, we might have her run that back down. Don't go anywhere. Blazing Metro, rocking it out this morning. This is Metro in the Morning on OneGranderMedia.com.
With us is Kendra McNeil, owner and curator of We Are Lit.
There we go.
Multicultural book shop.
There it is.
Yes.
There we
go.
Bookshop. So she has a lot going on here, and over the last summer, you know, one of her projects that she's involved in actually swept across the nation, if you will. I'll just say the nation, but swept across Grand Rapids. And that is her involvement in the Black Book Exchange.
Yes.
Yes. Can you give me and our audience some information about that?
Yeah. So the Black Book Exchange box is a free book exchange system that puts book houses in neighborhoods filled with books that thoughtfully represent Black people and culture. And so it started as a neighborhood match fund project. And through that grant from the city of Grand Rapids, we were able to put 5 book houses across 3 different neighborhoods. And it's just such an exciting project. I call it my baby. since its launch as a match fund project, it has developed into a nonprofit organization with a mission to make it easier for people to read, discover, and share books that thoughtfully represent Black people and culture. And it's just nice. One of the things that make the Black Book Exchange box unique from other free libraries is that they are vibrantly decorated. So the Black Book Exchange box worked with a local artist who did excellent artwork on the boxes to make them vibrant and stand out in the community. So that is a draw. Yep. And so the artist Ilya Lester Weber designed the book houses, and it just makes them pop and stand out. And then that draw is an introduction for people to see what is inside, which is the books.
How did you come up with that idea, or how did that come about? Because I remember when that launched. Mm-hmm. How was that birthed? How did you?
Yeah, so the Black Book Exchange Box was founded by Ari Wade, who is a Grand Rapids native. Uh-huh. And so she reached out to me, just knowing my involvement with books and reading and long-term literacy initiatives, and shared with me her idea to have book exchange boxes that focus solely on work that represented the Black community, and to where people could get stories that reflected their lived experiences. So that's how it started.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my next question was going to be, why or what's the importance of Black literature? But you just answered that question. It's good for us to be able to see ourselves in any platform. All right, we got movies, we've got music, we also have literature. So to be able to read stories that are true to what we understand life to be is something that is absolutely needed when you just period.
And to add to that too, the stories, I think the same way that you said that Black people need to see themselves in everything, I feel that way about books also in the stories. And so having books across all genres and that tell just different types of stories is at the heart of what I do with the Black Book Exchange Box. When new boxes go up, I get the privilege of curating the book bundles. And so I try to choose books that just represent Black people in everything. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I've seen some of the book houses.
Right.
And they are...
I got one around the corner from my house.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely catch your eye. I mean, the vibrant colors and the imagery that's on the boxes. And so I'm tempted to go in there one day and just grab a book and get that experience. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Just run in there, grab a book.
Read, return. Repeat.
And repeat it, you know? So I might find a new interest in one of those book houses, actually.
Yeah.
So
it might be time for me to go around the block, too.
Mm-hmm. So you're heavily involved in that, and I know you're heavily involved in literacy within the community and things of that nature. But you've also been involved with several book clubs here in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
So I understand that you have a new venture coming out that you're working on.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about that new book club that you're looking to establish?
Yeah. So traditionally, I've moderated two different book groups, Women Who Read GR and then Well-Read Black Girl. And both of which, obviously by name, are suited for women. And I want to do something that brings together not just women readers, but also men readers. So I am working on launching a co-ed book club that I've unofficially named Books and the Beats. And that will bring together books and music to create conversations around culture and family and faith, relationships, all of those things that we get out of consuming both books and consuming music. So that is my, I don't want to call it a project, but what I'm working on is a co-ed reading group that brings both men and women together.
So I know you say books and beats, so I know there's a lot of, first thing I think about is entertainers that have written books or what have you. Mm-hmm. So you have your Commons, you have your Questlove, so forth and so on, but you also have Rakim, who happens to be in the studio right now in the form
he does.
In the form of a photo,
right?
Yeah.
You know, but you have Rakim, who's also going to be here in, well, virtually.
Yep,
he's going to be here in Grand Rapids with GRCC. Mm-hmm. So he was at first scheduled to come in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with the COVID deal going on, they kind of switched it up a little bit. And I know you've read the sweat the technique. See, yes. I always tell him, don't sweat the technique. from his album, of course. But have you read the book?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think about the GRCC and them bringing him here virtually?
Yeah.
And are you going to check that out or?
I am going to check it out. I think I was the third person to register when I when I saw it. And I have a so the book came out last fall, or time has flown so much it may have even been the fall before that. But it's available in paperback now. So that gives a sense of when it came out. But most people know Rakim because of his music and, you know, as a rapper and hip-hop artist. But Sweat the Technique is actually about creativity, not just for aspiring musicians, but just in general. Like, he talks a lot about how his own journey into writing. He talks about his family and how he balanced being a musician and being a husband and a father. And so it was just a phenomenal read. And so I recommend everyone read the book, first off. And he tells a lot of stories too that gives you insight into what was happening in his era around him. He tells a story about being flown out to LA to work on an album with Dr. Dre that never came to pass. But just that entire experience and how it affected him and his family, and the pressure of creating and putting out content, which is universal, not to just music, but just in everything you're doing, whether you are an artist or an entrepreneur or things like that. And so I think the conversation that people will get when he's virtually on April 6th, I think will be well worth attending and listening to. Yeah.
Okay. Now, in your description, you mentioned that Rakim was a musician. Now, for the people out here there that don't realize this, that Rakim is actually a saxophone player. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that he started off playing saxophone. So if you listen to his cadence in his rapping, it's totally different from anybody else's because he's going off a jazz style, you know, which is crazy, but it works, and it has worked really well for him. So give us your social handles where people can find you.
Yep. So We Are Lit GR, at We Are Lit GR on Instagram, and on Facebook, Grand Rapids Bookstore. Yes.
Awesome.
At Grand Rapids Bookstore.
At Grand Rapids Bookstore.
Yes.
Kendra McNeil has taken over the book scene here in GR.
You just locked it down.
Guys, make sure you go out and support her. Anything else you want to say to the audience, or is there anything you want to leave us with?
Read.
Simple.
Look, I got my book.
I mean,
so.
That's it. Yeah, read. Yeah. Need it. Need to do it. Got to do it.
Wow. So it was such a pleasure having you here. We definitely want to bring you back. Talk more about books, because, you know, during our show, a lot of times I want to just implement a book, something that I've read, just to throw out there in the atmosphere, you know. So one of my favorite books is look at that, I can't even call it, it's called
Which one?
Alchemist.
Is
The Alchemist is one of my favorite books. Which is a really great book about turning that metal into gold. So it's good.
you're our former president. That's on his greatest reads list.
Okay. I'm in good company then with that
there
one.
There you go.
So make sure you guys keep it locked right here, Metro in the Morning. Check out the website, onegrandermedia.com. Leave a comment. Check out the post. Check out the podcast. And check this one out a little bit later on. It will be up on the website. Same day, just a little bit later.
Just a little bit.